Welcome. Welcome to Bridging the Gap Between Science and Spirituality. I am one of your co-hosts, Kat. My regular co-host, DC Love, will join us for a short time tonight due to unforeseen circumstances. However, I am thrilled to welcome my guest and co-host for this evening, James Carr, who has been on our show many times before. But I'm just going to give you a quick bio if you haven't listened to him in the past. James Carr, he is a recognized artist living in the Brandywine Valley, a region well known for its artists and performance personalities. He attended the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts, where his innate talents were honed and expanded. His main venue is conceptual figurative oil painting. He has an uncanny ability to bring to the surface the spirit of the subject. He is a gifted empath and has been blessed with the grace of spiritual channeling. He feels the reason for the compelling aspect of his artwork comes from an observance of the subject, which he then translates creatively to the canvas. He has deeply studied in quantum mechanics and believes that is indeed the bridge between spirit and science, to relationship with wondrous angelic powers. Currently, he posts his paintings on social media, as well as producing NFTs. His career has been in advertising, public relations, and marketing, and today he focuses full-time on his paintings. So, welcome, James.
Thank you.
So briefly, just a little intro into our show here. We here help lead those listeners on their own spiritual path of self-discovery towards divine universal connectivity of mind, body, and spirit. So you'll be given powerful yet achievable tools and techniques and how-to exercises to help raise your frequency to attract only those people and experiences that are positive and matching your own vibration. Also, a Mother Mary sound healing will be transmitted at the beginning of the show. Thank you, DC. And James and I then will share our own personal foot the bleep moments that we've experienced on our own spiritual and metaphysical journey, along with an oracle card reading for the collective at the end of the show. So, again, my name is Kat, and I'm a natural-born intuitive empath and clairvoyant, having seen visions of Mother Mary and angels at a very young age. Since then, spiritual, metaphysical, and miracles are part of my everyday life. Along with a few conventional and graduate degrees, I am also certified spiritual exploration, shamanic meditation, mindfulness, and health and wellness coach. I'm also a certified Reiki practitioner and energy healer using visualization for manifestation. So, DC, you want to go ahead with the Mother Mary sound healing? And
oh, yes, I'd be honored. Thank you, Kat. Okay, just please sit comfortably, everyone. You can close your eyes and just relax. And then begin to breathe slowly in through the nose and then out through the mouth. Okay, Kat, let me know when you're back.
That's always hard to get out of. I just want to stay there.
Yes.
It is. Yeah, so did you see four of us tonight?
I was going to say that, yes. I did, yes. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
It was beautiful, yes.
It was. It always is. And it's just such a, it's like a grace being just, you know, put over us. The listeners.
Well, you know what? I felt like immediately taken away, like taken out of the earth. And I saw stars and I went up above the stars and I could see us, you know, just going up into heaven, and we were surrounded by those, you know, that are there now. So it was absolutely beautiful.
Wow. Yeah.
Really, really beautiful.
That's
but I
beautiful.
Could see, first I saw the stars, and the deep blue sky, and then stars, and then I saw a staircase, and we just like went up the staircase to visit those that are there.
Were you
so
listening
really
to me
amazing.
When I said I went outside to look at the stars?
No,
Do you always see the synchronicities that are here?
We do. I know. And, you know, I want to ask James, too, while we have a guest with us, I want to see what he experienced as well.
Yeah, what I was seeing was my granddaughter. And it's such a wonderful time at Thanksgiving because she's almost two now. And, you know, she's becoming so, she just giggles so much and laughs at everything. There's such a beautiful spirit to her. And now we're going to have a second one. So it's all just really, really nice. And, you know, it's just beautiful. And my daughter is so happy.
Oh, yeah. It's such
it's
a blessing,
I believe, just being bestowed on all of us whenever we hear that.
Really beautiful.
Yeah.
Really beautiful.
She's magic. She's really there, and I'm just so grateful.
Younger, Kat, we can feel it because we've been doing this for a little while now, and the more we continue to connect and, you know, do these healings, they're getting stronger and stronger. It's amazing.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. It's real stuff.
Well, I'd like to continue. I'd like to continue on, if you would let me. I think I'd like to share with everyone our the channeled healing from Mother Mary.
Okay.
Okay. So Kat and I connected with her beautiful friend, who at the time was in hospice care, and we each, you know, astral traveled and met each other in heaven at 3 a.m. And there we connected with Mother Mary. She walked with us on a magnificent beach where we saw beautiful waves, amazing sand, and then Mother Mary walked into the water. And she was going deeper and deeper, and we noticed her dress was not getting wet. The three of us stood there in amazement. And then I began to channel this beautiful, sacred red rose healing as we walked along the beach with Mother Mary. I also realized that this was the eternal beach of heaven, and it was the perfect atmosphere to release what no longer serves us. And my channeling was so synchronistic with Kat's beautifully channeled message to her friend, mentioning sacred gardens with beautiful flowers that nourish our hearts, our minds, and our souls. And at that point, Mother Mary gave each of us a sacred red rose, which she placed within our hearts. Now, as I continue to read this channeling, you too will have an opportunity to have a sacred red rose placed within your heart by Mother Mary. All you have to do is say yes quietly before I continue with the channeling. But first, I want to explain that healing does not have to take a lot of time, and this channeling is a significant healing tool, as well as being very, very powerful. It addresses all issues, and it can be read for a family member to help them with their healing process, or even gifted to a friend. Mother Mary has heard your prayers, and she knows the suffering that you have endured. She asks that you trust in her divine healing abilities. We are going to release and let go of all that no longer serves us, including cellular memory, emotional wounds inflicted upon you as a child, limitations, ancestral roots that need healing, pain that has traveled through family lines, as well as forgiveness that is needed. Please sit or lay comfortably, close your eyes, and slowly begin to breathe in through the nose and then out through the mouth. One more time, in through the nose and then out through the mouth. Now envision a beautiful sacred rose that is filled with unconditional love being placed within your heart by Mother Mary. And as you breathe, imagine your breath going directly into this beautiful heart, which is your heart. And as you continue to breathe, the sacred red rose begins to bloom. And as it does, it brings with it heavenly blessings. These blessings are filled with divine healing, trust, and courage, and will help with whatever circumstances you are facing. Now take a moment and place your intentions into this beautiful sacred rose. You now begin to feel a beautiful warmth upon your body as divine love and light fill every fiber of your being. This beautiful energy connects with every cell in your body and brings healing wherever it is needed. You feel Mother Mary holding you in her heavenly embrace as she continues to fill your entire being with this divine and loving energy. This energy also heals any situations that you may be concerned about. This amazing healing will continue to take place on all levels, whether they're physical, emotional, spiritual, or even on a soul's level until all the healing is complete. You will feel Mother Mary's divine essence within your heart, knowing that you have unlimited divine resources that are within your sacred rose, and they are available to you whenever they are needed. Mother Mary's divine healing has no limitations. It can go wherever love can go, and as we know, love heals all wounds and it removes all obstacles. I love you, Mother Mary. Now, Mother Mary is still here, and she has a message. My beloved children, I am standing with each of you. Some of you may have trouble understanding what you cannot see. Please have faith because I am with you right now, and I will remain by your side. Whatever you are needing, just ask. I will guide and protect each of you. Do not be afraid. I will encourage and support you as you go forward through life's challenges and changes that are occurring. You must believe that these changes are for your highest good. Release the despair and the doubt that have caused such heaviness within your sacred hearts. It is also time to give birth to the dreams that you have thought would not be possible. Beloveds, keep going in the direction of your dreams. You will have all the spiritual support you are needing. This is a time of rebirth. Connect with the spiritual blessings that I have placed within the sacred rose of your heart. Beloveds, you are on the cusp of a brand new life. I love you, Mother Mary.
Aww,
so that is
beautiful.
Channeled healing. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And yes, James, what did you feel? Can I ask that question?
Well, I felt I could feel the emotion and the
okay.
love.
Go ahead.
And again, so much is being channeled through me to the wonderful fact that my daughter, who had wanted a child, is having such a beautiful child.
Yes, that's such a miracle. Beautiful. That in itself is a beautiful miracle, yes.
Yeah.
We're so happy for you. Well, Kat, mm-hmm. I am going to sign off in a second. Before I sign off, I'd like to mention that, you know, those of you that are listening in, of course, you're listening to Bridging the Gap Between Science and Spirituality. We also have Angel Answers. That show is on Wednesday tomorrow at 7 p.m. And there is another show, Enter the Light, and that show is on Sundays, I believe, at 3 p.m. Eastern. And every now and then, whenever this group of beautiful ladies has a chance to get together, we have a show called The Lighthouse. And we have three amazing women that are connected with that show as well. So with that being said, Kat, I'm going to turn the airwaves over to you, and I hope you both have a beautiful show. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Cece, for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome. God bless.
Night.
Good night, everyone.
God bless. All right, bye-bye. Okay. She's wonderful. She's a, her channelings are just amazing and beautiful, and they're mm-hmm. always felt. So, all right, so let's get started here. So one of the things, James, that we were going to talk about on tonight's show was near-death experiences, which is just something, a topic that is very interesting to a lot of people. And so, you know, just to start, I feel like we've all heard of near-death experiences, and, you know, just feel free really, you know, to add comments here or at the end. But we've all heard of these near-death experiences, and at this point there's, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have died young and old from different cultures, countries, and belief systems. And what these children, adults, scientists, physicians, other medical practitioners, priests, ministers, other religious leaders, atheists, like, have all reported, and more obviously, but they've all reported the same similar experiences. While no two near-death experiences are really identically the same, there are recurrent characteristic features that are commonly observed. And so these characteristics include a perception of seeing and hearing apart from the physical body, like passing into or through a tunnel of light. So remember, they're physically dead at this point, okay? However, there's a consciousness there, right, that is alive and well and awake. So again, these, you know, their examples are, you know, they're the perception of seeing and hearing apart from the physical body, passing into or through a tunnel of light, intense and positive emotions, encounters with deceased loved ones or other loving beings, and then the choice to return to Earth. So again, just to, you know, further explain, the near-death experience is when someone dies and they're physically dead, yet their consciousness, their energy remains. All right. So the Near-Death Experience Research Foundation found evidence through their thousands of interviews and studies that life does exist beyond the moment of physical death. They state that from a medical perspective and logically, it shouldn't be possible, yet the evidence shows different. And like I said earlier, thousands of people through their own self-report describe seeing ongoing, you know, for instance, location apart from their physical body while unconscious, literally like an out-of-body experience. So some have reported, for instance, floating above their body, looking down as they were being resuscitated. You know, they report, you know, what people were wearing. This is, again, while they're physically dead. What people said, these people report once they wake, passing through walls and reporting back what doctors, family members, and others were saying, even if those people weren't even in the operating room, and so on. So it's really not surprising to hear that, for instance, a profound scientist, Dr. Janice Holden, she reviewed 89 published scholarly articles and books on thousands and thousands of near-death experiences and concluded that of the cases reported and reviewed, 92% were completely accurate. And then these studies were later investigated by other profound scientists who concluded the same result. So what does that really tell you, right? So, you know, and interestingly, too, like, there's been many investigations on near-death experiences in young children. And it's, you know, we're being told that it's important because at an early age, children are less likely to have established religious beliefs, cultural understandings about death, or even an awareness of what death is. And in one study, 613 children under the age of 5 years old who had near-death experiences found that these little ones had the same types of experiences, but based on they were so little, again, you know, their experiences often reported back going to heaven and being met by, you know, animals and or, you know, their favorite animal, you know, loved ones, grandmother, Jesus, whoever that was on, you know, the other side before returning to the physical body on earth. And in one article I quote, it says, near-death experiences in children will have a content limited to their vocabulary. However, it is now clear that the age of the children at the time of death does not in any way determine its complexity. Even pre-linguistic children have later reported these experiences through different means of communication. And then it went on, there's many studies also on have been done on blind people who have had near-death experiences, who reported highly visual experiences consistent to others. They said they could, so they were blind in their physical life, yet when they were physically dead, they could see. So that was interesting to me. And I could go on and on, but for the sake of time, I'm going to stop here. Only to say that there's a multitude of compelling evidence showing that following a near-death experience, significant changes are commonly observed, such as people report like an all-knowingness, more of an interest and curiosity about the meaning of life, more acceptance of others. People felt more loving towards themselves and others, more joyful and empathetic, just knowing that our energy never dies because we are all connected and, you know, it's the divine universal consciousness.
Well, I think,
so what do you think about that?
Yeah. I think basically what I see in it is the divine, the karmic aspect of this person's life has not reached the level that it had been determined to be or could be or was supposed to be in some divine way. And so the divine brings them back and lets them continue on their journey. Obviously, that does not happen in all cases, but it certainly happens in these cases.
So are you saying that they still had lessons to learn or things to teach?
They still have lessons to learn. They have, they may have been growing spiritually, but they had certain roadblocks that needed to be worked out so they could continue on. And that's what I see, is that, so, you know, I don't know if this really relates directly, but I was reading something kind of interesting. I've always kind of believed that these really great figures in the world, in history, whether it was, you know, Abraham Lincoln or Julius Caesar or whoever it was, they have a certain kind of karma, and it's a very high one. It's a very high level. And they may be leaders in the military sense, but they're in quotes great people. And again, that's, you know, I'm using that term only in the sense of the way we see them. But I was reading recently that something I never knew, and I'd always read about Alexander the Great, who was an amazing leader, and he was very young. He was only in his 20s, but he died at like 33, and they couldn't understand. I just read this recently. Babylonia, I think it was. But anyway, one of the great capitals there, and it's very, very hot and very steamy. And they noticed that his body did not decay. It would not decay from the time they determined that he was dead for like 5 or 6 or 7 days. Now, normally a body would start to decay within the first day or the second day. And I just wondered, I had read some scientific explanation that he had something like Guillain-Barré or something like that. It's a paralytic kind of thing. And that he wasn't able to show that he was still alive, but because nothing would move, but that he was still being able to get enough oxygen to breathe in that time. I'm only bringing that up because it's just kind of strange that maybe they were thinking about bringing him back, but they decided not to. I don't know. I read about that and I thought, well, isn't that odd that, you know, the greatest leader of the world, maybe ever, and he doesn't decay, he doesn't die. It's like, but that's part of the thing about, you know, when you're a great leader like that, you're still on that you're still on that worldly plane. You're not like great saints or Jesus, for example, who was all spirit and then would ascend into heaven. Just a thought.
Right.
As you were talking about that, plus I also think that I think a lot about dreams lately. I never dream that much, but recently in the last few years, I dream a lot. And I don't really think dreams are the same stuff as our thoughts are. I mean, it's something different. And I think it has more of a spirit-based. I mean, I come up with dreams that have no sense of anything connected to anything. You know, if you look at Freud, he would say, oh, well, that had to do with this, or that had to do with, you know, something you did wrong. It had nothing to do with that. It's just, you know, and so I just think it's a different form. It's a different spiritual form. It's not coming from just the brain or the mind. And that's just my opinion, but that's what I see.
Well,
in it.
Spirit does come to us through dreams all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so that's, but also, you know, a dream usually does mean something. Sometimes it's just, you know, sometimes you may be, I don't know, you know, maybe, you know, certain medicines may make you have crazy dreams or something that aren't really, you know, don't really have too much hold, you know. But for the most part, dreams, I believe, are very important and it has clues to, you know, what we're, what's going on in our life. And it's a way of, for me anyway, I've woken up with, just talking about dreams though, you know, there's so many dreams I've had that were very, very meaningful, whether it was an idea or it was, you know, a question that I had, and then I would have a dream about my groom, they're coming to me and answering that dream, or if I'm about, you know, a loved one passing and I wasn't there, which I thought I could have been, she came to me in a dream and, you know, she was all in white, standing by a white man with her arms out, hugging, you know, came up, you know, to hug me and, but it was okay and made me feel so much better, you know, but I've had lucid dreams too, and those are very profound, very, very, very profound, and those manifest within 1 to 3 days. So, If you ask me how they happen, I can't tell you. But it's something that runs in the family. So I don't have all the answers. It's okay, I think, not to understand. At one point, things will be revealed, I believe. But in terms of regular dreams, though, I've had many ideas come to me in dreams as well. So, yeah.
I definitely think, as I say, I think it's coming from a spirit source, even though there are psychological aspects, undoubtedly, that are at
right.
play as well. But, for example, my father passed away. It's been 20 years now. But, we had a good relationship, but there were some complexities to it. And I do sometimes dream of him, and sometimes it's with a anxious feeling that, maybe I'm not thinking or being the way he may have thought that I would necessarily be. But I also know that I can channel him at any time. I can call upon his spirit. It is there. And
right.
He wasn't an overly spiritual person, so I always try to say, well, you need to just get away from this plane and move on to the next. And what you have to do is you have to turn around and look for that great white light and follow that path, follow to where that's going to take you. I mean, he was a good person, so.
Right.
I don't think he would necessarily. Well, he might. I mean, you never know if you're going to reincarnate or not. They're going to determine that probably. But
like people always know everything about even our loved ones, because they have their own stuff that they share and stuff that they don't. And I think that people come back, are given the choice to come back. Because there's this, there's unfinished business or like I said, I believe everyone is given a gift, right? Everyone has an ability to do something here on earth that God wants us to do, right? And not everyone's given the same abilities, right? So it's not us. We're just the vessel and we're working. We're like soldiers, we're working, or apostles, right? We're working for God, right? To do his work, right? But not everyone, for instance, could be David, beating Goliath, right? But he was chosen to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people are chosen to do certain things that God has, like I said, given them that gift, through him, right? So whether it's hands-on healing, Jesus, that's, it's the Holy Spirit coming through to heal through, a healer's hands, right? So, again, we're here for different reasons, and so when people come back from these near-death experiences, I believe there's something bigger that, has to be done. And like you brought up, karma, it could be something, also about that. It could be that they're here to help, a loved one.
Right.
We all have different, there's so many different scenarios here, right? It could just be that, they're just, their light is a gift to the world, and we need light, and, when we're in dark places. And so it's all beautiful stuff.
We're always getting these messages and through synchronicity that are coming from the divine plane, and they're letting us know that this isn't coincidental. This is not coincidental. This is part of your education. This is part of your spiritual growth, to recognize that there are things that are not, cannot be formalized. I'll give you an example today. It wasn't anything in particular, but, you know, I knew I was going to be on the program tonight, so it was in my mind to look for spiritual signs or whatnot. So I was in a very high part of the city here in Wilmington, and I looked out so I could see over the city essentially, or at least part of it, and the sky was just, it wasn't like a sunset that has all the colors and the amazing level of just beauty, but this was just like it had a vibration almost to it. It was just, and of course, it was the full moon today, so, you know, even the full moon was making it magnetized in a sense. And I thought, well, you know, this is telling me that that there is, there's definitely, the spiritual life is so evidently true, and I just, you know, hope that it can be conveyed to those who don't necessarily subscribe to it. And science, I mean, even science just shows that we talk about entanglement, and, you know, there's nothing that can be more amazing than the fact that one particle here can spin one way and then the other electron on the other side of the galaxy or an infinite distance, whoever knows what that might be, would immediately react to the one spinning the one way, will go the opposite way. And even though it's only, it may be from, they can measure it, let's say, from New York to London, but they could amplify that out and know that, okay, there isn't a measurable even hundredth of a second difference. It's exactly the same.
Right. I mean, that does fall under physics because they prove that.
Yeah.
It's also, yes. So it's quantum physics, but it's science.
Well, quantum physics is definitely, like you say, bridging the gap.
Sorry. Go ahead. That's a perfect example of bridging the gap between science and spirituality, because the quantum physics, like, you know, you think you can't go through a black hole, right? Because of string theory, you know, matter goes through there and it's going to get pulled apart. But is that really the truth? Because if you think about it, God gave us power to do everything, right? So in his name, we believe, and we're being granted, right? And it has everything, of course, to do with the way that we live and our spiritual practices. But, you know, to have faith and hope and, you know, you know, the meditation, I believe, is very important. And, you know, the things that we want to manifest, there's ways to, you know, through visualization and meditation. Meditation all in itself brings us, you know, higher vibrationally so that we can get those downloads because, you know, and it helps us to have a better understanding of who we are, where we're going, our, you know, role here, you know. And so even when you talk about the starseeds or our starseed families, that, you know, they're so high in vibration, we have to put ourselves in a state of higher vibration because they can't come this low, you know. So to get that consciousness, that wisdom to bring to us so that we can manifest here things on earth that is part of our divinely plan is, you know, that's really how I look at it anyway. And so just, you know, the full moon like we have tonight and the stars and the, you know, the sky and the water and just there's so much, you know, out there in this universe. It's beautiful and we want to, again, always stay in the light. And but in terms, again, going back to the, you know, why are we coming back, you know, that's what I mean. I just feel like we all have a divine plan and we're given the choice. So otherwise, I believe if, you know, everything's like a test. This is what I believe. I feel like things are a test, right? So if you want to, you know, really be one, like God in action, right? Like, God's going to give you a test, and you're going to be tested. And when you're tested, you know, the higher in vibration and frequency you get, you know, people get stripped from your life. You know, the people that aren't for your highest good, they're gonna disappear, you know? You know, but if you continue to, for instance, let them back into your life, and you already know that they're not good for your spiritual growth, then you're just going to, it's going to keep happening. That thing, it's going to be a revolving, you know, story until you decide, you know, you get it, that I need to move on. You know, they're not bad people. They're, you know, you send them light, they're just not at the vibration that you want to be at, right? And so when that happens, it lowers our own vibration, you know.
And
so,
the divine wants you to be at, too, because
well,
the guide is also part of that, and, well, the major part of it, but the divine is guiding you away from something that is not supporting your spiritual enhancement.
Exactly.
Or your you know, making you a more and more spiritual being, so that when that time comes, which it will come for everyone, then we're going to be more prepared, and the divine will, like you say, the test will be there. In a sense, and hopefully you will have been cleansed of the negative aspects that we all face, and hopefully growing, evolving to a much higher level.
Yes.
I want to talk a minute, too, about the, you know, as you said, I'm an artist, pretty well known, and I absolutely believe, without any doubt at all, that when I do a painting, I do not know what that painting is going to be. I know what the subject's going to be. I know what I'm going to be overall trying to convey, but there's no doubt in my mind that something else is going on. You know, something is moving the brush onto the paint and creating this hopefully engaging and in many cases beautiful work of art. And I actually haven't heard too many artists talk about that. I had read a haiku recently, and it spoke about the same thing, that it was something moving through the brush or the paints that are bringing it to that level, bringing it to a level of that most people can engage with, and even people that maybe are a little more tuned to art will find, yeah, that's really something that I embrace and that I enjoy, and hopefully in some cases they even want it. I like to sell some.
Right.
But art has always been part of my life. I mean, whether it was music or poetry or writing, I wrote a couple of plays, and it wasn't until we had our daughter that I decided that maybe I should do something instead of playing the piano, that because she couldn't sleep. So I picked up painting.
Spirit comes through your brush. I've seen your channel paintings, and they're absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. I find it hard to just say that, oh, okay, well, you're gifted, you're talented. I know I am. I'm not going to be falsely modest about it, but it is something else. And really throughout my life, unlike most of my people that were my peers, not to say that they also had tuned into some spiritual aspects, but, you know, people, you know, follow their careers and, you know, they want to have a nice family and nice things, and they should. That's all good things. But, you know, with an artist, it begins to become less about what you actually may get from it into something that is just totally different. I mean, it's a form of communication, whether it's a writer or a musician or whatever, I mean, a composer, that they're doing it for the love of doing it. And the more that they love it and the more that they're being guided to do it, the more it's going to engage an audience. And hopefully it's, you know, something that is beneficial, that helps society. I think it helps society a lot.
Of course it does. Of course it does.
I mean, I can't even imagine life without the arts. I mean,
anything
it's
art is beneficial to society, whether it's, you know, art itself and or music or poetry, like you said, the different writings, but, you know, whatever it is, it's you know, it's like the imagination, it's the creativity that's off the charts. It's staying really outside of the box, right? And it's something that the world needs. And you know, that in schools, really, they should have more of it. You know, these more progressive schools do, these alternative schools, you know, but just planting a garden, just, you know, being out in the dirt, grounding these kids, you know, doing, you know, teaching them how to ground themselves, or teaching them, you know, the positive affirmations, you know, teaching them to sit there, even if they don't know what meditation is, you know, an example is I have one of my grandchildren. He's little, and I just, he doesn't know what it is, right? But I said, this is how you sit and just breathe in really deep, you know, rainbow colors, and then and he has the position. It's just very cute. And then breathe out, just blow out everything that you don't like, you know, those type of things. And so, and he does it, and he's like you can hear him like blowing really hard, you know, and breathing in these rainbow colors. And it's just really, it's really
so
neat. You know, I think that is something, again, that, you know, you want to, like he knows about crystals, right? And he knows what some of them mean. And he's automatically attracted to certain ones. And so he knows on a full moon that him and his sister put them outside, you know. And when you're little, you're open, right? So, you know, he's asked to travel here. And I said, I saw you last, you were here. And he goes, I know, I know. I know. and then his sister, she's small, she's lower, and she, you know, again, and they're all open channels, right? And so the first thing she said when I walked in, and this has happened, you know, it's been for like a couple of weeks, and she's just like, "Mom, there's angels all around you." Like she sees them, mm-hmm. you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, and so it's just really, it's a neat thing. And I don't know, it's just, you know, and parents, I feel it was so more parents. Some just don't understand. And I understand that too. Right. So you don't get it until you get it. Right. But the ones who have these children, you know, it's just to support them, even if we don't understand everything, right?
Yes. You know, it's kind of, not to change the subject, but you talk about ghosts, for example, and there are ghosts. There's no doubt in my mind about that. They're departed souls
right.
that are even more earthbound than most, that at least go to a middle level before they may go on to heaven, and they may have to come back and continue with their training, spiritual training. But the ghost, it just will not escape the, you know, the burdens or the pains or whatever, and it just comes, and it wants to keep living it. But I happen to have grown up in a home that was very, very old. It was built, and we have these around Pennsylvania and Delaware, that was built in like 1720, and you would think that that there would definitely be some ghosts around there. And I lived there.
Well, there's
my,
everywhere.
You
know, there's everywhere. Yeah.
But I never really told them. So one time, my mother told me she was in the hallway or something, and I was little. I was maybe 6 or 7, and I said to her, "Mom, what's that behind you? Who's there behind you?" And I really don't recall it, except I can kind of see like there was this shadow thing behind her. And so maybe there was one, but you'll know when you're in these older homes whether there was something really terrible that had occurred, because you'll feel that vibration. It'll still be in the stones or the wood or whatever, and it'll come out. And I don't think there ever really was in that home. It was a pretty happy home, and I'm sure there have been, like, what, 15 generations that have lived there. So
yeah.
I just bring that up because...
Well, you talk about that kind of, like, that's why we protect ourselves, right, before we go anywhere,
yep.
right? That's part of our spiritual practice every day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I don't go outside until, you know, I protect myself, I protect the house, I protect the kids, I think that by doing, well, I know because I know this for a fact that, you know, the more daily practice, the spiritual practices that you do, the more you'll find that you're only attracting those spirits that are godly, that are divine in nature.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's okay. They can hang out here. I see angels. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
But, you know, but I'm just, you know, I'm open to the divine. So, like, I will say that too. Like, you're not welcome here, you know? And that's just the universal law, and God wins every time that they can't stay. So, you know.
Go ahead,
but
Sandra,
anyway.
I just wanted to mention real quick, because you probably want to move on, but maybe this is synchronistic too, because as I said before, I don't meet too many artists or come across them that have that same feeling. Necessarily, they may feel it, but they're not in touch with it. They're not, you know, they're not recognizing it. Let's put it that way. And of course, if you're looking at like straight cubist or abstract work, that's very much of a mind conceptual kind of work. And that's fine. It's fine. But if you're looking to make something that is beautiful, that's usually coming from something spiritual. But just the other day, there's a person that I know work, and I relate pretty well to her, and she had suggested that I look up, well, she actually sent it to me, a blog by another artist, and the artist, I think the name is, she goes by Joni Artist, something like that, and she does blogs twice a week, and she's done like 80 of them, and she's very, very brilliant, as well as being incredibly spiritually advanced. And so I listened to one of them, and she was going off on just that, that, you know, she, you know, just like I never show a painting until it's at least halfway to two-thirds, because when you're starting a painting or even a third the way or half the way, it's going to look a little bit amateurish or a little bit off or a little bit awkward because you're building the structure, and that doesn't have all the other aspects to it that are going to make it much more compelling. But she was talking about exactly the same thing, and I don't know how this related, but she got off on infinity, and that basically if you accept the notion that we are in a universe that is absolutely infinite, I mean, without any beginning or any end, it is infinite. And I don't know completely if I buy into this, but basically what she was saying, even from a physics standpoint, every single thing you do in this life will be replicated. There'll be an eternal circle, an eternal cycle, which actually had been part of...
I agree with that there is no beginning and no end. There's no time. There's no space. There's, you know, and again, that's you know, proven. I mean, we are all connected. And so what we do, even the flap of like a little butterfly can send off like waves of, you know, into the universe that causes a huge effect. And so everything that we do, everything that we say, every action, every relationship that, you know, that we have with different people, not just, a spouse or a girlfriend, it could be a friend, it could be and a child, it could be anything. Like every relationship with ourselves, you know, like matters. Everything we do matters, and it goes out into the universe. And so, and again, and we are all connected, and we're like tiny grains of sand, you know, like it's a Milky Way galaxy.
Yep, and not only that, all the particles that are in us and all the atoms have come from an exploding star, and they can't be destroyed. They can only be transformed and changed, or they can redo recombination. And she talked about that, as well as talking about the butterfly theory, that even the motion of the wings of the butterfly can set off incalculable things throughout the universe. So.
Yeah. Everything.
So we're made of stardust. So that's a good thing. That's kind of an exciting thing.
Part of God in each one of us, and so we should never be afraid. We should never be fearful, because God always walks like in front of us. You know, like He's always like He's there, and we just believe. Like I think our belief system is very powerful. And if we really stop to think you're having a human experience, it kind of changes things, where we don't take, you know, we don't take things so seriously. And, you know, we kind of wait for the manifestation too. We wait, you know, for things to happen, like we, in faith, and you know what I mean? And because sometimes when we're too, like, I want this, I want this, I want that, like, you know, just, it's just, you just have to, like, chill sometimes. Pray every day. Pray every day, but just be patient, too, and sometimes just listen, you know, just say, God, I'm just going to listen today. That's what I'm going to do. I'm grateful. I'm going to listen and wait to hear what you know, what you want from me. And so, like, for that day, and so I do lots of different things, but I do think that we have to let go of, you know, let go of all people, places, things, thoughts, feelings, behaviors, environments that are not, you know, that are not in alignment with our higher self and the path that, you know, God put us on, you know, because lots of times I feel like we want, you know, to walk our own path, but it's really, we're not here to walk our own path, we're here to walk his path that he put us on. And so even if we, you know, so like, for instance, letting go of anger and resentment and hurt and trauma, like it's, you know, it's like give us, even if that's still there, it's like giving us the, asking for the ability to don't let those things affect us in a way that's going to hurt, continue to hurt us, if, you know? And so we ask for help then. You know, we're asking for that help. And so self-forgiveness, I believe, is a big one. You know, people hold on to, doesn't mean you have to let, you know, you like what someone does. It just means that you are giving giving that back to them, you know, giving that back to them where it's not affecting yourself, right? Because we don't want to hold on to that. We want to give it to God. And so anything that's too big, like this is what I do personally, like if it's too big for me to handle or I don't know what to do at times, then I just give it to God. And I said, you handle this. This is, I'm surrendering this to you because it's too big for me. So I'm putting this all in your hands because I trust you that, you know, because he always wants the best for us, right?
And really, I mean, that's the message of Lord Jesus. I mean, that's forgiveness, you know, love, and somehow escaping from the temptations of animosity, or I don't want to call them temptations, but you know, they're the animal self. Let's put it that way, that we have that, you know, we're competitive, but we're not. But we're able to recognize, and we're not like animals. The animals, they, you know, they do what they have to do, and you know, they've got to eat. So, but we're kind of like that too. But we have the spiritual side. I'm not saying that animals don't too. They do as well, to some extent.
We can be spiritual warriors. I feel like I'm a spiritual warrior. When I have to be,
you,
you know, so, you know, but anyway, but let's move on here. So, so the one thing that we're also talking about is just right. It kind of falls in line with our topic here, and this is just kind of quick. But I asked myself, okay, what is life after death, right? And so one definition I did like, and it says it's one definition is a purported existence in which the essential part of an individual's stream of consciousness or identity / personality continues to exist body. So that's life after death. Our consciousness, our energy just never dies.
Mm-hmm.
It continues, our soul. Our soul continues forever. And, and I was thinking of my own personal experiences with, like, life after death. So I didn't really research anything on this. I just thought, I'm just going to get, because I do have experiences of real experiences of life after death. And so, for instance, I'll just give a couple. The one dream I already talked about, right, when my aunt died, she felt guilty, and she came back to me in a dream, and she was in white with a white band next to her, and just put her arms out and said, it's okay, I love you, and, everything is good. And so that made me feel so much better. Another one, which was wild, it was my birthday, and I had a report due the next day that was, it was a huge report that I just didn't have time until later on in that afternoon to go back and finish it. Well, it just took much longer than I had anticipated. And so I'm literally there in my office at midnight, and the papers are on my desk, and I feel like wind blow by my hair, like my hair moved. Okay. Like I felt a breeze, and there are no windows in my office. Right. And the door's not open. Right. So where is this breeze coming from? So, I felt that. And then literally the papers on my desk blew off. Now there's not a vent right there. There was not a vent right there, because I thought of every possible logical explanation for what had just happened, but there was none. And then I smelled my grandmother's perfume. She was there with me. I just got a chill. She was there with me. Saying, here with you on your birthday. I know you're working, but I'm here with you, and then, and then, another time, I did see, orbs where I knew it was my grandmother. It was the most intense thing I've ever seen in my life. It was a time, it was, something had happened and I was disappointed. And I was there by myself and sitting just, in the kitchen. And this is a wild story, but honestly, God is true. I didn't really know what an orb was at that time either, by the way. Right. So, I'm sitting there, and there's like a nightlight in the other room. Right. And I look up because there's something above my head, and it was a round circle light, but it had all these sparkles. And I'm like, look at me. That's what it was saying, right? And I'm thinking, what is that? And again, I'm looking around. There's nothing. It's not like, it couldn't be car lights. There is not, the kids are in bed. Like, it was just is, because I'm thinking, oh, somebody playing a joke on me, like, what is this, right? So I look up, and every possible thing I could, I looked at my watch, is that, like, you know, doing a reflection, is it, like, this or that? Okay, nothing, right? So all of a sudden, after I called my sister, and I said, I don't know what I'm looking at here, right? Well, as soon as I do that, the sparkling light, it went on to the cabinet, and it was just like a white light, and then there were two, and they're literally moving across different like areas of the kitchen. And and all of a sudden my sister said, see if that's mom, I'm asking if it's, you know, our grandmother. And so, because it would go out of the room and then would come back. And she was very good friends with her sister who died shortly after she did. And they were like best friends. So they were always together. So so when I called them, when they went in the other room, I would say, Mama, and they would both come back. They weren't like right next to each other sometimes. I'm telling you, they were all over the place. And so then she's like, all right, because I was on the house phone, and she said, get your cell phone and take a picture. I said, okay. So I go to get my cell phone, and as soon as I went to take a picture, my phone battery, which was full, died. And because the energy, it just, yeah. And, but every time I called her name, like, she'd come back in. And, you know, that was just amazing. And, but I've also, she's been with me a lot. And in dreams, again, I've, loved ones come in, and also spirits, I feel like I definitely have seen them. Like, for instance, when my cousin died, I had gone into the family room, and all of this, there's like papers everywhere. And I'm like, who did this? Like, I don't, you know, I'm a pretty neat person when it comes to like that. And there was papers everywhere, like on the dining room table. I'm like, what the hell? Like, who did this? Right? It was like a really, you know, strong wind came by and just blew all these papers all over the place. Like, they were on the floor, they were just all over, right? Well, I'm like, this is weird. So I go to pick it up, and when I did, it was his obituary.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I've also, you know, life after death, I've seen, just as a clairvoyant, you know, just, I've seen just, like, there was a boy, for instance, that just walked by in the kitchen. I was sitting there just in the family room, and I saw this young boy. I believe he was from the Civil War, and he really paid no attention to me. Basically, he just walked through the kitchen, and I didn't know where he was going, but he just kind of walked through the wall and walked through the kitchen, and like that, you know, where
you know,
go,
wanted
okay.
to mention too, because it's funny, actually, both of those stories are kind of similar. Those events are similar to what I've had happen, which when I was in college, I guess I was like 19 or 20 or 21, something like that. And I was in the dorm. And the dorm, okay, it was on the second floor. And at the end of the hallway or either side, there were big windows that you could look out. And somebody came like running over to my room and said, you got to see this. So I run back there, and I run out to where like three or four or five of my, you know, classmates or whatever are all looking out the window. And looking at, it was at night, maybe in October, something like that. So it was dark. We're seeing all these orbs. We're seeing like an orb to the left, and it might be like gold, and then we'd see one to the right. It might be like white, and then we might see another one above that sort of looked reddish. And they were like popping in here, and then over there, and then over there, and over there. And it went on for like, I guess, like 15, 20 minutes, and it kept happening. As when you mentioned about the orbs, I'd always kind of thought, well, what are they called? And that's what they were called. But the next, I guess I knew this, but I wasn't conscious of it. There was actually a fence. There was a lane in front of us, and then there was a fence, and then beyond the fence was a small cemetery. So
yeah,
that's where they were coming from.
I actually just took a picture about a month ago. I'll have to send it to you. It's just all orbs. Everything is, I was standing outside, and I intuitively must have just sensed something, and I just started pictures in the dark. And the one picture is literally, and I didn't see it when I took the picture. It wasn't until I saw the picture, I was like, oh, wow. Like, there's a lot of spirit here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, and then I'll just tell one more story about this. I was working out one time, and I could feel spirit with me, and it was, like, my one side of the family, right? Like, and they were, and I'm like, what are you guys doing here? And they just, you know, they were just hanging out with me. Like, and so, but I could see them, how they were dressed, and they were dressed, again, it was my grandmother and her sister and the rest of that family, which is a big Italian family, and they were dressed in beautiful, like, you know, 20s outfits, or, you know, or like the 1900s, or like, but they were dancing, and they just were... It was really neat, and, you know, I was like, oh, I'm at their party. They're at my party. I'm just, you know, they just wanted to hang out. I was on the treadmill when this is happening by myself. So it was kind of neat, you know, but,
you know,
but anyway.
I want to tell you the other one. When you were talking about the papers blowing around, right, blowing off your desk or whatever. Okay, so I definitely did have a what the bleep with this one. I guess I had been married, so I would have been about 30. Let's see, Amanda was born in 89, so I was like in my late 30s, something like that. I forget exactly what, but. And tragically, my niece, from my wife's side of the family, was a very, very sweet soul, but she, you know, she gotten in with some groups that were not as, great as they should have been. And she was actually a beautiful girl. She actually, she had some modeling jobs up in New York, and could have proceeded with that because she was just beautiful, beautiful girl and a good heart, really good heart, even though we had decided, I don't know what it was, we decided to keep the gifts for Christmas only within the immediate families because it was getting too big. And
what happened with
but
her?
Yeah, so she, I'm sorry, I've got a call coming in here. Excuse me. I don't know how to shut it off. Wait a minute.
I can't hear it. It's okay.
Okay, I got rid of it. But, yeah, so at any rate, she was in a terrible car accident, and it was over the Walt Whitman Bridge, and it was a head-on. And as a matter of fact, it had the bridge closed for hours, that leads into Philadelphia if you don't know the area, but she was killed, and you know, so a couple of days later, you know, I got the paper because I wanted to see if her obituary would be in there, and I opened up the paper, and there was a black drop, like a teardrop, black teardrop, right in the middle of her obituary.
Yeah.
And there wasn't any other one on any other, yeah, you know, obituary. So that was definitely,
yeah,
a sign from her spirit, you know, communicating,
yeah,
the sadness, I guess, but also that she thought enough of me to, and my wife, who was her direct aunt, that she would communicate that, or the divine communicated it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's lots of stories that we could talk about here, but I think we need to move on to the next thing here. If you go with that, because
oh,
of
absolutely,
time.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to do just an example. Like, we do talk about tools and techniques and exercises, and this is just a really quick one, and especially because there's a full moon and, you know, it's all about abundance and in here. And so this is just one of many ways, and we're going to talk about abundance, let's say money. All right, let's just say you're going to attract money. All right, so what you want to do, you just want to draw a triangle for the points at the top, right? And then on the left of the triangle, you're just going to put like a number one at the top of the triangle, number two at the bottom of the triangle, number three. Okay, so we're just working with the triangle. And like, for instance, number one, the left hand side of that triangle, right on the bottom, you're just going to put, like, for instance, the amount of money that you want, and let's say $1,000, right? And now you're going to go up to number two, which is the top of the triangle, and you're going to ask yourself, like, why do I want this money? Oh, it's to, and then answer yourself, it's to buy a laptop, right, if that's something that you want, right? And this example that I'm giving here, this person wants to buy a laptop. Now you're going to go down to number three, which is the right of that triangle. You're going to try to just, you know, imagine just the feeling that you would have as, you know, as if you've received it, like really feel it to the point where you already have it. It's already yours. You really had, if you had that in your hands, and that would feel amazing, right? So that's what you want to write. You want to write, I feel amazing, right? But you're thinking you already have what you're asking for, and that's amazing. And then the last part of this is just you go within the triangle, right? And you just, you write something like, I received it, I received it, I received it, I received it. And you're feeling, the more you can feel you have received it, again, like you already have it, the better. And you can work with that. You can practice it and just see what happens. So I thought I would just share that. It's called a manifesting triangle. I thought it was pretty good. Yeah. So, but I do know that the more you believe that you already have what it is that you want or desire, the quicker things will come. Now, if it's not in your highest good, so I don't know what that would be, that someone would be trying to manifest, but if it's, you know, we don't see if we don't get what we're asking for, it's because we don't see things that God sees, that, you know, we don't hear those conversations. We don't see the bigger picture, and, you know, there's something better out there that's coming. But it's always for our highest good. Make sense?
Yes.
I always envision this little girl. I saw a picture once where there's Jesus and there's this little girl, and she has this little teddy bear, and he's asking her for it. She goes, "No, but I love this teddy bear." Well, behind him is a huge teddy bear. So it's like, you know, kind of that mentality where you just have to trust, right, to be in your highest good and have faith in that. So let's see. So we're moving on here to the what's the bleep moment, okay? Do you want me to go first?
Oh, yeah. I already did a couple of them. So.
You already did it, okay. So yeah. This is a wild one because it's a deja vu one where it wasn't even that long ago. And I remember calling BC going, "This is something just so wild. I don't even know how to explain this," because I've had many, many, many experiences with different, you know, dual realities and all these kind of things. But this was different. And so I'm sitting on the train, and this woman sits next to me, and she's talking about something that I, like, she loved Rihanna, right? And she loved, like, I want to say Elvis Presley. But the thing is, she went on and on and on and on, and she's very entertaining, and I was like, I just saw her, like, a month ago. Like, what? And it was the same person. And I even said to her, I said, didn't I meet you, like, about a month ago? And she's like, no, you know. But it was the same woman, the same conversation. And then there was a guy that stood there, and he had said something. And he, same person, same clothing, same words, everything. It was the deja vu. And it was just very wild, you know. And I did get cues to, like, you know, I did see feathers, you know. I saw, you know, the, you know, 444777. I, you know, hints to there's something good that's happening. But the deja vu was just a little weird. I mean, I accepted it. What are you going to do? And I thought, okay, this is cool. It's different. But it was a little jarring at first because it had already happened. And I'm in that reality again. So, again, I don't always understand what's happening or why it's happening. And I never did really try to figure it out any further than what it was. It was a deja vu. So was I in their world? Were they in mine? Like, what was that? That's my what's a bleep moment. I mean, it was all good. It was all good. It was, you know, but, yeah. So that was pretty interesting. And then, all right, so now I have gateway of light activation, Oracle card deck. And what I pulled was Gaia's gateway activation. It says learning experiences, wisdom transmission, and earth intelligence. And it has the earth, and it has stones leading up to the earth. It's just, it's beautiful. It's blue, and every color, you know, has the rainbow. It has trees, it, water, pink. So, sorry about that. But it is, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful card. And let me just read what it says. So it says, this is the Gaia Gateway, which is the chakra that connects us directly with the mind and intelligence of Mother Earth. This chakra is not very well known, but is now being acknowledged as one of the key energetic spaces we can connect with to activate the ascension process. So for many years, ascension has been thought of as moving beyond limitations of the body and transcending the physical realm, right? So it goes on to say, but it is in fact the process of becoming present in the body in full awareness of the spirit within. So the Gaia Gateway is found below our feet, under the Earth Star Chakra. So the Earth Star Chakra is, I want to say, a couple inches under our feet, right? And, but this is found below our feet underneath the Earth Chakra, okay? But when we're connecting to it, it's best to imagine it in the center of the Earth. And the best way to describe it is as a wormhole or a portal in the center of the Earth that allows us to connect directly with the non-physical intelligence of Gaia, the spiritual presence of planet Earth. I love this. The Earth is a highly spiritual, intelligent, aware being. She has lived through many challenges and experiences that have led her to where she is today. So no matter what has been served up to her or how many of us have mistreated her, she has found a way to survive and thrive. And the card is telling us to visualize ourselves just sending deep roots to the center of the earth, through the bottom of our feet. So when you get as far as you can go, a portal will open. You're visualizing this. I did this before the show. A portal will open up and connect you with the matrix of Gaia's wisdom. And so be open to receiving a direct transmission from her. And and so that's what this card is about, is actually getting that transmission. And so it's just we're learning from her strength and from her yearning for a better future. You know, it's just, it's, anytime there's a transmission, it's a beautiful card, especially Mother Gaia, which is just so important. So
it's basically saying to stay, you know, keep your feet on the earth and pick up the loving vibes that the earth
is giving us.
Is giving us, yeah.
Yeah. Because as we, you know, ground, you know, whenever we stand in our bare feet on the ground, on the sand, on the dirt, whatever, you know, we're getting her, you know, Gaia's coming, we're grounding ourselves, right? And then when we let go, when we go outside and we can actually say, I'm letting go of all what no longer serves us, like one of my practices is, you know, I'm sending it all down to Mother Earth to transmute it to light and love. And that's what she does, though, right? So,
Well, she's the, you know, Mother Earth is the mother of all of us, you know, and I know I get my head up in the clouds more, but sometimes I need to be grounded too. So, So.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, you could just put your hands in the dirt too. Like, you know, any, you can ground yourself also by taking a walk in nature or just being outside and, you know, there's different ways to ground. People actually have grounding mats now. You know, where they if they can't get outside, they're bringing nature inside. So it's interesting. You know,
yeah, I really liked what you said earlier in the program about with the education, with the schools, that I really wish there was a way that they could be able to get the kids out planting a garden or, you know, working with their hands and just, you know, getting their hands in the soil and seeing how things grow. And it would be such a good educational experience for all of the kids, you know, particularly the kids in the city where they don't, you know, they don't have any connection, well, very little, with immediate nature. Of course, they have parks, but, you know, they need to, it would be so good for them to actually get out there and plant it and see what it comes up.
Yeah, it's like a, you know, most of it is interactive, put it that way, you know, which is really amazing. And but, you know, you could do things like with your granddaughter, right? She's little and the new one coming. So I have a 6-month-old grandchild, and I just, you know, it wasn't too long ago, I just brought him, it was outside, and I had his little hands just, you know, touch the tree. You know, I asked the tree, you know, could touch you,
yeah.
And I heard yes, you know, and just, you know, get the energy from the tree, you know, and so even sitting by, like, just leaning on that tree, you know, just, and reading a book, mm-hmm. or, you know, but again, you know, it depends the climate you are and how, I don't like the cold particularly, you know, but I do love being outside. So, there are
even like the swing, like you said, just getting out there and being able to, you know, I guess they have playgrounds, obviously, that have swings, but they need to have more grass and more trees, and that's where the kids need to get out to. And I understand it's very difficult in an urban environment. But it would be so good for these kids to have an opportunity to plant things or put a swing on a tree, and just the joy that comes with that. But again, you know, we're so limited in space for those things. We're fortunate, at least here in Wilmington, there's one of the largest park areas in a city of its size, which is, I happen to overlook it where I live, and it's just wonderful, you know, to be able to have that. And I'm sure up in New York, they just love Central Park, but still not the same as being able to plant a little garden or something like that.
And if you do it inside, you always have like a little herb garden. You know, my big dream is to have a huge glass greenhouse that, you know, has the reverse osmosis water, and just you grow everything throughout the year, and kind of like Longwood Gardens.
What did you call it?
What's that?
I didn't hear what you said.
A big greenhouse where I can grow all the organic food that I want and have the plants growing. Yeah.
Well, it would have to be pretty large. But, you know, there's a lot of places that do have that. Any oh, what did they call them? You know, any store that or place that sells plants and flowers and whatnot. But when you get into planting, you know, large corn or something like that, then it takes up a lot of space, but still could be done. I had a greenhouse at where I lived out in Wallingford. We had a small greenhouse, and it was just really, really nice. I mean, to be able to see the, and I would buy, what are they called? Not lilacs, but whatever. You know, I'm not coming up with words. But we had quite a few different kinds of flowers, and I actually had a garden that I made, and I actually had underground watering it. I watered it from underground. I was able to irrigate it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool because I had a rose garden, and roses are so vulnerable to any kind of disease or pests or whatever. So I would try to keep as much. I would actually go out and take off the moisture after it rained, because if you didn't, you would get this mildew and mold on them. But whatever.
Yeah. Well, this has been a great show, Ms. Carr, and I am just so happy and thrilled that you joined this evening.
Oh, I absolutely enjoyed it.
We always have the most interesting conversations. So I can always rely on you.
Yeah, we do. And I was thinking, too, about the meditation with DC and how wonderful that idea, the rose coming into the heart. If only we could do that with everybody.
But we that's the gift that was given, is that, and we use this every day, and this gift is for us, right? So you say that, I can send it to you, because I say it every day, and but you can also do it for other people, and so it's limitless. Like, she literally, you could feel her presence, and things happen, you know. As well as that Mother Mary's Hand healing, you can do that for other people. And I swear to you, things happen. Things change for the better. And because it's, you know, where there's testimony to it. One that we do for Saint Germain, that's also very powerful. He carries the violet flame, and you can gift this violet flame, to others as well. And so, look, there's been miracles that have happened. There's been healings that have happened. There's so many testimonials to what this can do, but don't ever think it's not for you, because it is for you. And anything that, you know, intention that you have that, you know, is a worry or a concern or a fear or whatever it is for yourself or others, you stick that in the rose, you know, and as you breathe and you're imagining that rose opening up. And every time you're doing that, that's an intention you're sticking in there. And you can gift it to other people as well. So I would do it, because it really does.
I would definitely appreciate that. It's been a real pleasure and joy to join on this, be part of this, and I hope everyone enjoyed it out there.
So we're going to close the show, and I just want to thank our listeners for joining in, And we, again, are here Monday, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. And I just, you know, thank you for listening. And I hope that you enjoy the show and enjoy this full moon tonight. Just God bless. And thanks again. All right. Good night, everyone.
Thank you. Good night.
All right. Bye.
Bye, Kat.